Welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. If you've ever dreamed about travel, but felt caught between wanting freedom and needing a sense of safety, this episode is for you. My guest today is Belinda. You may remember her from just a few weeks ago when she joined me to talk about extreme hiking and the courage it takes to say yes to big adventures later in life. Today's conversation is a little less vertical, but no less expensive. We're talking about house and pet sitting as a way to see the world, staying in real homes, living like a local, and traveling in a way that's financially practical and emotionally grounding. Belinda has done this across countries and continents, and as someone who's also spent time house and pet sitting, I can tell you this way of traveling changes how you feel in a place. It's about comfort. It's about trust, and it's about realizing that midlife travel doesn't have to look like anyone else's version of adventure. A confession before we begin. This episode was recorded across a 14-hour time difference, 5 a.m. for Belinda, 9 p.m. for me. Any verbal gymnastics you hear are simply two women doing their best thinking outside peak hours, proof positive that meaningful conversations don't always wait for optimal brain functioning. Listen now to my conversation with Belinda Coker. Belinda, welcome back. Listeners, if you're regular, you may remember Belinda from an earlier conversation about extreme hiking, where she reminded us that midlife is not the time to shrink our world, but to widen it. Since then, Belinda has continued doing exactly that. And today's conversation is a little less extreme, well, except for something she just told me, and a lot more domestic with a global twist. Today, we're talking about house and pet sitting as a way to see the world, something Belinda knows intimately and something I've also dipped my toes into. For many women in midlife, the idea of travel brings both excitement and a very practical question: how do I do this without blowing up my finances or my sense of security? Belinda has been living the answer. Belinda Coker, welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast. Welcome back to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we're embracing the journey.
Thank you, Agnes, and it's wonderful to be back. It really is.
Well, you deserve huge kudos. It's 5 a.m. for you. It's 9 p.m. for me. It's like, I think we're both just a little bit crazy here, but that's okay. We're going to talk house sitting today. We've talked extreme hiking. Now, in my notes, I asked if they go together from time to time or were they separate adventures, but you've just bumped one into the other, according to our pre-talk.
I certainly have. So, when I was on a hike through the Canary Islands, which we talked about with, lovely temperate islands off the coast of Western Sahara, I actually got hypothermia. And it's a, a bit of a long story. I mean, I've written books on safety on the trail. And so, I thought I'd done a few things right, but my electronics did fail and I got very cold and wet. And it was a pretty scary situation. So I basically flew straight back to the UK and I'm here in a friend's house. But I have another month. I was supposed to be away for another month, and I can't stay here for a month. It's just not practical. I can't, a hotel for a month is going to cost me a fortune. So I got into my house sitting app and I secured a house sit for 1 month. In Norfolk, in the east coast of the UK, and I've never been there before. And it's a lovely big house with a lovely dog. And it's just perfect. It really is. So now I'm basically looking at a month of free accommodation in a lovely house where I can, I can have full use of a nice big kitchen. I can cook what I want. I can can get up and work at 5 a.m. if I need to. And I can do yoga on a nice warm clean carpet, whatever, And so really this really came into its own, especially this time. And within 2 days I had secured the sit, and it's just it really is, the answer. It really is an answer coming down from, from the universe. It
The
really
power,
is. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to repeat in for the world to hear that I'm also so glad that hypothermia can be a dangerous affair. So I'm really glad that you had the mental capacity to bail. Yeah, so important, so important. Okay, you describe house sitting as a bridge between freedom and security. Can you explain that, please?
Okay, so what happens when, when we travel? There's either people with, loads of money, and they maybe they tra they travel as a couple, or they travel with friends, or they travel in the group, and whatnot. And travel can be easy. It can be stressful, for, certain aspects, but for travel for some is secure, and finances are not a problem. But for others, when they're traveling, they're watching every penny. They suddenly get to a train station, and the ticket that they thought was going to be $5 all of a sudden is $30 or whatever. And suddenly, and a meal out, suddenly they're looking at a restaurant bill, which is major. And there's a panic which can set in with a lot of people who are on vacation or holiday, or wherever you're from. And suddenly, suddenly that travel is no longer enjoyable. Suddenly they're looking at finances. They're staying in a hotel. It might not be great, and they just, I wish this could be better. And so there is that security of financial freedom when you are traveling. Not everybody has, a huge 401, or a huge superannuation account for non-Americans. And so travel can be quite scary, but it can also be scary if you are on your own, if you're elderly. It can be like, you might be going to a hotel, and then you have to go out to a restaurant, or you go downstairs to the same restaurant, or you go down to a restaurant and you have to sit at a table by yourself. I can remember when I traveled by myself, during my corporate years, I would be downstairs at a table eating my meal and getting hit on by men who could not even be bothered to take their wedding ring off. And so there's all sorts of things that travel can be fraught with anxiety, and all sorts of things that can make people uneasy. Now, when you're talking about house sitting, you are going to a place, and it can be in a city. When I was looking at my recent house sits, where I wanted to go, I prefer country house sits. But I looked in London. There were about six lovely house sits in London, and one of them looking after cats and whatnot. And often you can go out to see shows and everything. So you can look at places, house sits, and you can say, right, oh, North Carolina. I've never been to North Carolina. I would love to go to North Carolina, and or wherever it could be. Pick a place, and lots of the apps where you can find house sitting. You can look where you want to go, and in certain areas, and you can say, or new areas. You can look at the whole of England. I've never been to Norfolk. I'm excited about going to Norfolk. And so you arrive in a home, and all of a sudden you've got that sense of, ah, this is comfortable. This is comfortable. You can read reviews of other sitters have said, and other sitters will say, this house was not particularly clean, or this happened or that happened. And so you can sort of bypass those, but most of them are, oh my gosh, Jean and Pete were lovely hosts. They had me over for dinner the night before, so I could get to know them. I could get to know the house. I could get to know the people, and I just had an amazing stay. I looked after their lovely ginger cat called Ginger. whatever. And it was just a lovely stay. So you can read the reviews of previous house, and you know before you go what you're in for. And it was and it is just wonderful to be able to have a secure place to have a meal at night, and then with a couple of glasses of wine, and sit down by the fire or the TV or whatever, and know that you don't have to negotiate your way back to a hotel. You don't have a huge hotel bill, and you don't have a huge restaurant bill.
And I'm trying to remember a few things are ringing a bell. I know we touched on it briefly in our last conversation, but two things come to mind, and one is, a hotel, you are sitting in a barrel chair, unless you're sitting on the bed, but it's really hard to get comfortable. Whereas if you're in a home, there's bound to be some comfortable furniture, which is, such a big thing.
Absolutely.
And then I was going to say, I don't know if it was your story or one I've heard elsewhere, but you talked about going to Norfolk. You prefer country sits, and being true to, like, if you are into nightlife and you just want to see all the shows and stuff like that, London is probably where you should be. But for you might just want to relax, take the dog, or I guess you can't take the cat for a walk necessarily, but go for a walk down a country lane or something. You want to be in the country, and you really have to look at your own personality and make sure you're, booking true to your personality.
Absolutely.
Now, you sort of answered this, but I'm going to go deeper into it. You've lived in many places. How does staying in someone's home change the way you experience the city or the country compared to regular travel?
I will talk about my experiences with house sitting in Spain. So my partner and I, we did Barcelona, Nerja, and Andalusia, and it was amazing. My Spanish is pretty bad, but by the end of it, I was able to order things at the Marqueta, and the kitchen the kitchen had a paella pan. I was making paella. I was going down to the Marqueta, and I was getting like fresh prawns and all the lovely sort of Spanish condiments and ingredients, and it was just wonderful living like a local. And that is just what is so special about it, is living like a local, buying at the local markets. Like when you're a tourist, you go to a supermarket, right? But when you're house sitting, they will give you a complete list of supermarkets, and they will say, don't go to that one because the meat's not very good. Go to this one, it's cheap. Go here, go here. And they'll give you a whole list of places that locals go to. We're local shop. And You'll go out for a walk, and you'll have a coffee where locals have a coffee. You'll go for walks along canals or wherever, where locals go for, and you'll hear the smell, hear the sounds, and smell the smells, and everything is just so natural. It feels like that's how it should be. Whereas if you go somewhere as a tourist, you have a list of things that you need to tick off. Like, I need to go to the, I'm going to Paris, I need to see the Eiffel Tower, I need to see the Louvre, blah 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 blah, this museum, that museum. And you kind of miss the depth of a culture. That's what you miss when you are a tourist a lot of the time. I'm not saying all of the time, but a lot of the time you miss the depth of a culture. I feel you do anyway.
For sure. And following up on that, a number of years ago, I was in Barcelona, and it was an Airbnb, but we'd chosen a family apartment, so the same, only different. And after 3 or 4 days, I came down to go to the market, and I had a fellow from up the street stop me and say, "You're new here." And so I explained, and as it turned out, I think he was American, so he did speak English because my Spanish is spotty too. And I said, "Well, we're just here, just my daughter just got married, so we've got a few more days." He said, "Oh," he says, "I'm so sorry to hear that. We thought you were new in the neighborhood, and I wanted to welcome you and make sure you went to this." And it's like, when you're staying in a home environment, then the locals notice you. It's really a treat in that regard.
They do. I was doing a set once, and I ended up being invited over to the neighbors for dinner. And from that moment on, the neighbors and I were we were in cahoots almost every night. We just had the best time, and it was so much fun. And to this day, they are still friends. We still, it's great.
Oh, that's good. Okay, it's a strange segue, but let's go over to the trust aspect. It's there's a homeowner needs to trust you, you need to trust the homeowner. How does that happen?
Okay, so one of the first things is that you need to you I think it's best to use an app rather than through Facebook or some of those other sort of chat sites. Yes, you do have to pay a little fee up front to join an app, but it this pays for itself 10
Oh,
times
for sure,
over, or 100 times over, once you actually get a sit. When you're doing a fa when you're going through house sits with Facebook, you're not quite sure who this other person is. But with an app, usually people have, especially house sitters, have been verified, and you and homeowners, as I said, there's a you give a review. There's a review system. I am sorry, it's 5 a.m.
Oh,
if
no, I'm
I'm
just.
trying to find the right words. And so you kind of can go into that with an element of trust, but I always have, I'm talking it from a sitter's perspective first. Let's talk about from a sitter's perspective, being able to trust the homeowner. So I always say you've got to have a video call. You've got to have a video call with the homeowners, and you can really trust your gut. If they just seem, if something seems a little bit off, well then, don't go there. There are plenty of other sits. It is there are more and more people now wanting house sits, house sitters. So if a sit isn't right, just say no and move on to the next interview. And I do interview house homeowners. When are you leaving? What time are you coming back? Are there any cameras? Because lots of these apps say like there can be no cameras inside the house. You must turn them off. And that is something I remember turning up to a sit once, and there were cameras all throughout the house, and it was the most uncomfortable feeling I have ever had. And I actually did report it to Trusted House Sitters because that is an absolute no-no. You need to be able to, if you want to walk, you if you want to walk around the house naked, you should be able to do that. It's like your own house. But not only that, there's an element of trust. They need to be able to trust you. But you need to be able to trust homeowners that when they say that they're going from Monday to Sunday, that they are away Monday to Sunday, and they don't come back halfway through and say, oh yes, well, we decided we'd cut the holiday short because of XYZ, or the house is going to be clean, or you are going to be in a particular bedroom, or the heating is on. You need to be able to trust all these things. You need to be able to trust that nobody else is going to be in the house. You need to be able to trust that, when they say that their dog's friendly, that their dog is actually friendly and not a rescue dog who's a complete basket case and is going to bite everything and anything. So you need to be able to trust that. But on the other side, the flip side, they need to be able to trust you. And they are entrusting you with their most precious possessions, their house and their pets. And a lot of pets now, it's different from, I'm a Gen X. apparently. And or a boomer. I don't know if I'm a boomer or Gen X. I'm 60.
You can
I
be a
get really
boomer.
confused about the
You're
whole
welcome
thing.
on podcast.
Oh, I know. Thank you. And when I was growing up, dogs got tossed a bone out the kitchen window. That was dinner. But now dogs really are part of the family, and dogs, any pets are part of the family. And there has been a huge shift from in the 60 years, and so animals really, they are entrusting you with members of their family and their most precious possession, material possession, which is their house. And they have to be able to trust you, inexplicitly. It's really is something which is so important. They need to be able to trust that if something goes wrong, you can handle it. They need to be able to trust that you will take care of their pet in the same way that they look after their pet. And they also need to be able to trust that you are not going to snoop, you are not going to, look through personal papers, go into an office, all that sort of thing. You do hear horror stories on the Facebook pages, people saying, "Oh my God, I got this person, and I had a 100-year-old bottle of port and they drank that," or they went through my, bedside cabinets and they did all this or did that. And so there is a huge element of trust here. And I actually talk about that on the House Sitting Collective as well.
And I know one of the nice things for me is I've been house sitting, and this might be like another tip for a listener as well. If they're thinking of traveling in the future, is I house sat locally for 9 months. Now, first of all, I mean, there was a reason the place I was living in had sold unexpectedly. We had a 28-day closing, and I didn't want to commit to a year lease that quickly. So I just decided to do this house sit. And you gain, I gained a lot of great reviews. As you say, the homeowner is reviewed also by the house sitter. I know I turned down one because apparently there was an older, lovely dog, but there was a young pup that had not been trained at all. And, several reviewers said, oh my goodness, like, so ill-behaved, so hard to, and I just thought, okay, I'm not even going to bother with that one. And I only had one person say, okay, if you're local, why are you house sitting locally? Like sort of, why don't you live somewhere? And I explained that, like, first of all, I had to move quickly the last time. And also I do plan to travel in the future. So by building up my reviews locally, hopefully that'll stand me in good stead when I start going further afield. So,
Absolutely.
now you said that the next house sit is for a month. My last two house sits were 5 weeks each. Usually that's considered long term, and I love the long term ones, I must admit. Can you talk about short term, long term?
Okay, so short term is I think short term's like maybe under 2. For me, it's under 2 weeks. For a lot of people, short term might be, an overnight or 2, 3 days, which is great for a city break. And long term, I consider anything longer than, say, 3 weeks. I prefer the long term sits because I need to sort of set myself up. We house sit in between hikes, and I like to, have a place for my computer where I can work, where I can get into a routine. Long term is really good for people who are nomadic, like digital nomads, or they're people who just want to, okay, well, we live in Minnesota, let's go to Florida for the winter. Okay, well, we need a long-term sit because we're not going to fly all the way down to Florida just for,
5 days.
a couple of days. And so long-term sits are great for when you want to go somewhere for an extended period. But if you just just want to go to, I don't know, you live in Texas and you just want to go into Dallas for a couple of, for a weekend. Short-term sits are great because they usually are over the weekend and it can just be like for you a short break. And quite often the short sits, they are people who go away quite often, and you can usually find that they will go, oh, let's get Agnes back. She was fantastic, and you can keep going back to those, keep going back to those sits. And so short-term sits, if you're doing this full time, as well. My partner and I don't do it full time, but we do it regularly. But there was a season where I was doing it full time. You do want the longer sits because it can be very disruptive if you're on a short sit and then another short sit and then another short sit, and it can also be expensive moving from one house sit to another, especially if flights are involved and all that sort of thing. So if you are considering renting out your house, selling your house, or just packing up everything and hitting the road for a couple of years and having and enjoying life, then go for the long sits because they can be great. They really can. And you can usually get them to be stacked up back to back.
I don't know if I should do this in a public place, but cats versus dogs. I have seen, like, when I'm looking for sits to apply for, our darling little woofer cannot be alone for more than 2 hours at a time. And I'm going, okay, locally I still have a client 3 hours in and out, 2 afternoons a week, and I've got travel time on either side of that. Pets can also become babies. Or six walks a day, that sort of thing. I'm really a dog person, but I ended up preferring the cat sits because cats are a little bit more independent.
It really is an eye-opener when you start house sitting, isn't it? How some people feeding 6 times a week, 6 times a day, or something like that. It really is an eye-opener how, and I might upset a few people doing this, how mollycoddled some animals are. But some are for a reason. They might be rescue dogs. They might be senior. There might be reasons, and valid reasons. But more often than not, you can go away, leave the house for a period of time, whether that's to go into the city or whether that's to, go sightseeing or, go and catch a movie or have dinner at night in a restaurant or something like that. That's fairly normal. If a house sit is in the too hard basket, it just seems to be a little bit too hard. We will usually bypass that. However, and I'm going to say however, we now do a regular house sit 4 times a year for a couple of in Britain for a couple that go to. They go to Thailand. They have a business in Thailand and they go to Thailand for a month, 4 times a year. Now, the dog cannot be left alone. And we took this on because the dog is just such a beautiful dog. We don't mind being with the dog all the time. And they also have a cleaner who comes in who can mind the dog if we need to go into town, if we need to do anything like that. And we also we can take the dog as well with us if we need to, and so when we first looked at it, my partner said, oh gosh, that looks like in the too hard basket. And I said, well, no, actually I don't think it is. So yes, sometimes those sits can be in the too hard basket, and I have always said, yep, no, I need to be able to, go and do things and whatnot. But just this once, it actually turned out to be something which is actually quite special. Cats are fantastic because cats really don't care if you're there or not, and cats don't mind being but don't mind being on their own. And I'm a 50-50 person. I love having the dogs to walk the dogs, but I sometimes you just need a house that you can be in and a cat that you just have to feed once or twice a day or whatever. It's just, sometimes you just need that a break from looking after a dog or, a pet.
Oh, my last house sit was two cats, and I got there at the appointed hour, which was fairly early in the morning, and it took me 3 to 4 hours to find the cats because they had reacted to the suitcases and the parents leaving the night before, and they were not happy. And they had all sorts of hidey places in the house, and one was black. So you try to find a black cat in a hidey place. It was just, I was getting really nervous, I must admit. And finally somebody peeked their head out, and then later, by the time the food was ready, it was like, oh, food, they came running. So it was like, oh, you are here, thank goodness. I'm even checking windows at one point in time, thinking, oh, surely there wasn't a window open.
I mean, there's two things there. First of all, when you do start a house sit, people sort of worry, will the dog like me? Will the cat like me? But you very quickly become the new normal, don't you? You become the new normal. You're the one that provides the food, and all of a sudden, oh, okay, things are good now. We're back to normal. We're getting fed, and you really do become the new normal, and very, very quickly. And as soon as the homeowners see that, all of a sudden there's this huge relief. Okay, Ginger the cat, or Boxer the dog, or whatever. They're happy, and they're content, and they're well looked after, and they've got their own bed, and they're getting fed, and they've got their favorite toy, and I can relax and enjoy my holiday, and but I also wanted to talk about that whole thing about the suitcases. And the suitcases really are they're a trigger for so many pets. And I find when we bring out our suitcases to pack, leaving a house sit, the animals, dogs just get this uncanny sense of all of a sudden their whole demeanor changes, and they start looking very upset, and they get very clingy. You'll sit down on the sofa and they'll come down and they'll sit right beside you, and they'll start licking you, and they just their whole demeanor changes. And cats will do that as well, and they'll sit in your suitcase and they'll just look at you as if to say, no, not again, because they can't, their concept of you're going, but their owners are coming back. That concept isn't there. That whole concept isn't there, is
Wait, you
it?
mean they didn't understand me when I said it's okay, mom and dad are coming in tonight
I
later?
know. I know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you and I are both
Yeah.
mid-age women, even if you're not quite a boomer. No, just there's been decades of responsibility, routines, other people's needs. How does it's okay, what's this? Zoom blocks those out now.
Oh, really? Blocks coughs out. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, for the listener. Belinda was just making these contortions, trying not to cough into the microphone. Anyways, so, women have had this life of all that responsibility stuff. Now they're independent. Talk about how house sitting can really enhance that. At least I think it enhances it. You tell me.
I think it enhances it from definitely a safety perspective, I think so. When you and I spoke briefly before about during my years of corporate travel, having to sit at a table by myself, sometimes that's uncomfortable. And you see that a lot on the Facebook groups with the travel. How does every, people ask that question all the time. How do you get comfortable sitting at a table in a restaurant on your own? And it can be very intimidating. Walking back from the restaurant to a hotel can be very intimidating. being in a hotel by yourself can also be intimidating, and being in an unknown place as well. Like when you are walking around, you suddenly, turn down a little street and suddenly you look around you and there's
Yeah, and your
nobody,
spidey senses are
and they
going,
might
yeah.
not. Yes. And, I know they've got a lot of street cams, around, but does that really help you? I mean, that's not going to prevent
No,
anything, is it?
just helps
And,
the police find your murderer.
yes.
Let's really instill faith here. I'm sorry. Oh,
Yeah.
it's late.
So being able to, go somewhere and have the concept of safety, I think is just so important. For me, when I was when I first started, I felt safe. I knew that I could walk into a house, I could lock it behind me. I knew that there was an alarm system. I knew that certain lights went on at certain times, and then there might have been, a camera outside looking, watching wildlife and all that sort of thing. So I had this huge sense of security, but also being in a home can also give you a sense of security as well, rather than even though it's not your home, it sometimes it feels familiar because there is a kitchen, there is a lounge room. Everybody has a kitchen, a lounge room, a bedroom, sometimes a dining room, and it doesn't matter what the house looks like. It might, but there is a familiarity to the fact that it's a house. When you are in a hotel room, it is a box, and it is an unfamiliar place. There have been countless people sleeping in that bed before you and after you, and the energy of a lot of hotel rooms can sometimes feel a bit
Yeah,
ick,
yeah.
they really can, and it can be really not
It's
pleasant.
interesting. You just reminded me that one of my 5-week house sits was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I could drive to everywhere I needed to get to, and I know the area, so it's not a big deal. Large home. And because it was sort of on a bank looking down into like a meadow, but plate glass along the front, no curtains, no drapes, because we're out in the middle of nowhere. And at no point in time did I feel unsafe because it was a warm home. It was lovely. I really liked the homeowners. Listen, and as you say, you lock the door when you come in. It's
It really is. There is a sense of security, and I think, and that's so important. Nobody wants to, people want to be able to travel, and this is part of that whole freedom thing that we were talking about before, isn't
Yeah.
it? Yeah.
Now, how did you find this whole concept, like in terms of what introduced you to the thing of house sitting?
So I had arrived in the UK. My daughter was doing an exchange at Exeter University. So I arrived in the UK, and like most Antipodeans, we've got a zillion friends up and down the country. And so I was staying at a friend's house, but you can't always stay at friends' houses, especially if you're going to be there for about th 3 months. You sometimes that sort of overextends the welcome. And I was looking at countrycottages.com and, Airbnbs, and I was just looking at what was on offer, and I was thinking, oh my God, these places are, if I want somewhere nice, I'm going to have to pay a fortune. And the other thing about a lot of Airbnbs, you might go into the kitchen and there might be a frying pan, there might be a pot, but there isn't a slow cooker, there isn't an air fryer, there isn't maybe a blender, there isn't a load of other things, and also there isn't thing I found out, which I'll go into later, but there isn't a pantry, where, salt and pepper and all that sort of thing. So I was looking at the offerings, and it was just like, I was just like, oh gosh, well, I don't quite know what I'm going to do. And then suddenly, you even have to think of a problem, and Facebook or Instagram suddenly gives you the answer, right? You don't even have to say it anymore. I want a pair of black boots. You think about that, and all of a sudden, you've got a whole lot of ads for black boots on Facebook or Instagram. And then suddenly this, something about house sitting came up, and I thought, oh, that looks interesting. And I just looked into it, and all of a sudden, I just thought, this is amazing. And I applied for a sit. I had never done house sitting before, but I did my profile and my application, and I go through all this in with the House Sitting Collective as well, of how to do this properly. And I got this lovely sit in this house. About half an hour train ride from my daughter's university, and I know I sound like a helicopter parent, being really close to my daughter, but we are very close. We are very close, and in this lovely, it was a doctor's mansion on the. It was just a beautiful area, looking after a Siamese cat. This was for, it was for a couple of weeks, and I just thought, wow, this is amazing. This is just an incredible experience. And that is how I got into it. It really was a wow moment. Like, how can you compare this with an Airbnb? And how, obviously people, Airbnbs have their place, or how can you compare this with a hotel? It's just, or how can you compare a hotel with this? The other way around, sorry. And so that's how I got into it. And then I just, a lot of my work at the time was in America, and I went back there, and instead of being based down in Central America, which is where I was which I was based at the time, so I could work in that time zone, I ended up house sitting, and it was fantastic. It really was. And another, my daughter and her boyfriend went and did a ski season in
Oh, here in British
in
Columbia? Oh, Vernon,
yes
Vernon.
in Cap yes Vernon. And so they were based there for a few months, and I got a house sit in Vernon. You'd think that I am a real helicopter parent now.
Gives you a good excuse to go to other parts of the country, though. Oh, my daughter's there. I'll go
I
visit.
know. So it was just fantastic.
We're both in this situation now. We're not spending much time in our own home. One thing that was really interesting to me, and it was nothing I had considered before, but my idea of home and when I finally have a permanent home of my own again, I've got a list of things that have gone from nice to have to must-haves. How about you? Like all those different houses that you've sat in. What's that done for your idea of what your home will look like at such time as you quit gallivanting?
Oh my gosh, I have taken so many photos of people's floors, photos of people's the way that they've done their window, photos of, a banister. I have taken photos of so many, and I know this might sound a little bit creepy, but it's, in a nice way, in a, you know. But it really does give you an idea of what you would like, especially in terms of using kitchen appliances and that sort of thing. Like, I've got a whole storage full of kitchen items and full of, all sorts of things. But a lot of that was bought like 20 years ago, and my home had children in it. So when I go back, it's just like, well, things are going to sort of slightly change now. It really is. It's a great way of, I think especially in the kitchen, things that I like in the kitchen. Oh, I like these pots. I think I really like these pots. So let's take a photo of the underside of it, so I know that these pots I really want to get. And I've often said to the homeowners, like, where did you buy these pots from? And also things not to do as well, like, and that's, I mean, when you're in the UK, a lot of the houses that you do stay in are 100, some of them. One house I stayed in was, 200 years old, and so there's all sorts of quirks and things with that, and I don't think I'll have an old house.
Yeah, it's interesting. For me, it was more things like I realized how much I need light.
Yeah,
stay in some
yeah.
places that are just dark, like there's not very many windows or something, and just that whole need of air and light and stuff like that. Yeah, I
Yeah.
wasn't taking pictures of
Yeah.
linoleum or floors or tile or banisters. Now, speaking
Yeah.
of taking pictures, and I might offend a few people here, you see posts on social media of people doing house sits, and here's a picture of the backyard, here's a picture of Rover in the
Yeah.
living room with like all the photos and stuff like that. Now, I did journal some of my house sits on my website, and there's only one photograph that I realized, oh my God, there's like a family photo in the back. And I ended up deleting all the
Yeah.
background just for privacy.
Yeah,
Okay, yeah, I'm
absolutely.
glad
Yeah.
you're on the same page as that
Yeah.
then, because I look at some of the
Yeah.
pictures going like,
Yeah.
do the homeowners know that you're plastering the inside of the house all over social media?
Yeah. And you do have to be very, very careful, with that, because and that's what comes back to the trust thing. You are in somebody's private environment, and I think you really do need to say, would I like this? Would I like someone to be plastering my house? Or, and really, does it need to go on social media? Like, really, does it need to go on social media? Just ask yourself that. But taking the dog for a walk, or the cat, maybe just sitting on your knee or something like that, where the background isn't there. But can we talk about taking photos
Sure. Of
anyway?
course, yeah.
Because there's a very good reason to take photos. And when you do walk into a home, there might be certain arrangements on the table or on the kitchen counter. And I always say, take a photo of this so that when you leave, everything can be put back exactly as it was when the homeowner comes back. Because there's, when I first started, I thought, oh gosh, I need to move this out of the way. And then it was like, where did
Well,
this come
especially after
from?
four or
What did
five
I
weeks.
add?
It's not bad after 3 or 4 days, but
I
after four or
know.
five weeks, it's like, oh my
I
God.
know. I
Yeah.
know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good
Yeah.
point. Yeah.
And
'Cause I've done the same thing.
there's also, been a couple of times where I've left before the homeowners come back. And I always take, if that happens, and quite often you might say, look, I really need to leave by 2. And they say, well, we're not coming back till 6, so that's fine. Just, lock the door and pop the key in the letterbox or whatever, And a lot of homeowners are quite happy for you to do that. And I always take photos of every single room that I have been in and that I have cleaned to, confirm exactly as what the house was as I left it, just in case
Yeah,
anything
just
could
to protect
happen.
yourself.
There could there might be a break-in afterwards, or anything could happen. And also, so that that it's clean and tidy afterwards, and everything has been put back, and that, silver chandelier or silver candelabra is still sitting on the mantelpiece or whatever,
The other thing with that I encountered at one house sit was the gate was a big, huge gate, like taller than me. And as I hit the latch, I realized that it had been like bumped and popped out of its frame, main frame, and it was all fresh. Like you could see the fresh wood, you could see where the screw used to be. I mean, the screw was still in, but it wasn't. And I'm going like, oh my God, like I hope they don't think I did that. And I ended up taking pictures because, of course, all your pictures now on your phone are time stamped, date and time stamped. And it was like, just as we've just said, to protect yourself as much as anything. It was like, oh, because you don't want that on your review of like, oh yeah, she's really nice, except for that she smashed the gate. But
Absolutely.
What haven't we talked about?
Probably exiting the house, at how you need to clean. I think you talked about this. We're both
Neat freaks.
very kind of
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I wouldn't even think to talk about it because for me, that's just an expectation. But all of my reviews, I think, have said, oh my God, that was beautiful when we got back. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is really important to clean the house as you found it, if not better. You know, sometimes if I very rarely go into dirty houses, but there has been, you know, there has been the odd house which isn't as clean as what I would like my own house. But I'm not there as the cleaner, but I will make it clean as. You know, as clean as I would like it, especially things like the kitchen and things like that. Yeah, I think that's really, really important. And
I did
yeah.
have one sit where we had met because it was a big dog, and we had met to make sure that the dog would respond to me and I could handle the dog. And it was a miserable, rainy, mucky day when we did this. And so we're chatting and chatting and chatting. And she said, "The one thing I need you not to do is clean my house. We live in the country, we have a big dog." Now, as you said, the main living part of the house was beautiful. It was immaculate. The entry hall mudroom kind of thing, you could tell there'd been a big dog in there. And I've had medium-sized dogs, you know, where the walls do get kind of grubby from them rubbing or lying down or whatever. And you know, but they made it clear that, you know, don't try to make our house, you know, gleam. And that was fair. I mean, obviously, yeah, the kitchen, it was immaculate. The bedroom I'd been in, the rest of the house, I still vacuumed through and tidied. But yeah, the mud room, laundry room, I was just like, nope, that's the way I found it. I'm going to leave
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think I wrote a whole blog post about, you know, how to clean the house when you are leaving. Like we have a method. I also have a checklist that I give my partner and I. Otherwise, you know, my partner sort of runs around looking like what do I do now? And it's like, no, you have a list and it goes in this order.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's perfect chance to go into your resources. You've got resources on the website. You've got free resources and you've got courses. Talk to us about that.
So I have three courses. The first one is the use of power words. These are words that you would use in your application and your profile. And power words are words that invoke emotion. So you know, things like responsible, friendly, kind. You know, for example, let's look at the word home. And the word house, or the word house, the house is a building, but then you say the word home, and the home feels like something which is warm and inviting, and you've got cinnamon buns in the oven and a labradoodle, you know, jumping
Well,
on the
and it
front
is their
lawn, you
home.
know. Yes, correct. Yeah. So I go into how power words are so important, especially when you're talking about your application and your profile, like, and how to, and then I have a whole course on how to write a winning profile. So these are sort of, and profile, your profile is very important. And, you know, and that's your shop window. So that is how, that is when homeowners are going to walk past your shop and decide if they're going to walk into your shop and see what you have to sell. You know, because you might have a, they might put up an ad, it might be a week in London, and there will be a lot of house sitters applying for that week in London house sit. We're lovely house in Mayfair looking after one small cat. You know, okay, there will be a thousand. There'll be a, and so if you have a winning profile, homeowners will stop and they will want to read more. And so that to me is it's very, very important. And I kind of use that analogy that your profile is like your shop window, and it invites people into your shop, and then your application is how you as a salesperson then sell yourself to the
I
homeowner.
just this, sorry,
And
I'm just going to say,
I.
just this morning, I got a request to apply, like an invitation to apply for a house sit, and they quoted parts of my profile. "We really like the fact that you have done this because this is how we live, you know, whatever." And it was like, okay, yay, thank you. I mean, obviously, I turned it down because I'm doing something else right at the moment, but it was really nice to see that.
Exactly. And then I've got the house sitting foundation course, which literally goes through everything. It goes through your application, it goes to why you want a house sit, all about house sitting. It goes through the trust, it goes through the meet and greet. And I have a ton of resources that accompany this, like checklists for emergency contacts, checklists for what, for the meet and greet. Have you covered everything? Have you covered even things, how does the washing machine work? Where's the fuse box? Have you the alarm codes, all that sort of thing. So there's a whole bunch of really good resources where you can sort of double check and make sure that you have absolutely everything that you need for when the homeowner goes. And so when, if everything turns to custard for some reason, there's a leak or power outage and or whatever, you know exactly what to do. Or what happens if the dog goes missing?
Protocol.
What do you
Yeah.
do? Protocol, that's it. It is now 6 a.m. So and I have only had one cup of coffee. What is the protocol if a dog goes missing? I mean, I looked after a couple of cats in Seattle, and they just kept escaping and going off. And there was a whole profile on what to do
Oh,
with the
good.
cats when they escaped. But I think what I'm trying to say is it's so important to be prepared. And then also I've got a great cleaning checklist too about how to do this, how to clean a whole house and have it ready. I think we've got it down to about 4 hours. It's just like, it really is. And I think this is really important. And I also do have free resources as well, because free resources are great, especially if you just want the emergency contact list. And I'm in the process of coding these to be HTMLs as well, which will probably be up on the site by the time this goes to air.
Okay. I'll add in about the your checklists and things. I'm also in the Pacific Northwest, and I have impressed the hell out of so many homeowners by saying, if the big earthquake comes, do you have a file or something that you want me to grab on the way out of the house, as well as your pets? So with their insurance and stuff like that. And we've had a few people say, "Don't worry about it," and because maybe they've got things elsewhere, like off-site, and then other people that say, oh, and then they leave like just an envelope. It's sealed. I'll never look inside of it. I don't need to know what's on the inside. I just need to know that if something goes sideways, they need me to take that with me and their pet." So.
That's really good advice. That is great advice.
Now, you've talked about trusted house sitters. I think we've both used that one. Are there any, are there a lot out there, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do have one list of a whole lot of them, and but I think there's been a couple more been added into the arena in the last year or so, because I think trusted house sitters, I think we spoke about this, that they're now introducing fees with each sit, and I can kind of see that a lot of the other platforms are saying, well, we don't charge fees with each sit. We actually continued with trusted house sitters, only because, well, not only, but in the UK, they're a UK-based company. And that is the most widely used in the UK at the moment. So for us, it works, but also we have premium, so we get the insurance. If our house sit doesn't happen, we then get the Airbnb paid for or the alternative accommodation paid for. So that for us is worth it. But there are so many apps available, and I do have a list of them on my site, especially for America and Australia and Canada. There are a lot. and they all basically work in the same way. And I think you just need to do to try one and see if it works for you. I don't think trusted house sitters used to, when I first started with them, gave, a month of free a free month.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
can't
think that's
remember.
a I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Yeah, and I know with trusted house sitters, the way I looked at it when they implemented that charge for the sitter was no longer am I going to take a 4 day sit. For a 5 week sit, it's a nominal fee, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. But certainly I was thinking more about these people who do go somewhere just for the weekend. Weekend in the city or weekend in the country, something like that. Then it's less and less.
I think that fee has been implemented for both homeowner
Oh.
and the sitter, I'm pretty
Okay.
sure. So, but yes, how much is it
Well,
in
I'm trying to
Canada?
remember.
It's
It seems to me it was like $17 or something. So not a
right.
lot, but
I
it
think
adds
it's
up
not.
if you're doing a lot of house sitting. Yeah.
It's nine. I think it's
So,
£9
yeah,
in the
comparable then.
UK.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yes, I mean, in the greater scheme of things, if you are using this as a holiday, as a tool for more affordable holidays or vacations, then 17 Canadian or £9 isn't probably a large fee if when you know that you're no longer paying for
And
hotels
restaurant
and
meals,
restaurant meals.
that certainly adds up. I know there was another one that I was going to apply for until my life changed in the fall. And Rover.com, you can charge for your pet sitting. And so I guess there's a whole variety out there. So I guess you just have to check around, see what works for the individual.
Exactly. And, I kind of thought about that at one stage, and I think my profile's so great with trusted house sitters. I just thought, well, it's a whole new thing if I want to try and make this into an income for me. But people do, especially long term, people who are doing it full time or long term. And I know that boomers who leave their home and travel around Australia are called grey nomads. And I think in America they call them silverbacks or
Oh, yeah, I'm not
something.
sure they're those gorillas.
But whatever it is, but grey
Okay.
nomads are actually a thing, and a lot of people actually do it as a paid, and they will literally drive around Australia and living the life and in their camper van and camping at beautiful beaches, because Australia's got all the best beaches in the world, sorry. And they will charge a fee, and so it's pe people do do it. Personally, I don't, but that can be
I guess
done.
that's also another way, just to supplement your income, even without traveling. Like if you are in the city, you don't, like as we get older, like I'm not sure I'll ever have another dog now, because A, keep is expensive. I'd want to travel myself, la da da da, all these reasons. So to either go to someone's house and take care of their pet or to have their pet come to me could be a possible way to supplement my income if I wanted to do that. So. Boy, there's so much out there, isn't there?
Absolutely. I know.
Okay, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Okay, so housesittingcollective.com. And the House Sitting Collective, that's where I have the free resources, and there's a link to House Sitting 101, which is our blog site
Oh,
as
right,
well.
okay.
So House Sitting 101 has the blogs, and the House Sitting Collective is where all the great instructional sort of stuff happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just looking at your front page here, and the house sitting world is changing and fast. The global market is projected to grow from $2.7 billion in
I
2024
know.
to over $5 billion by 2030. There we go. And as you say, homeowners are becoming far more selective. So, yeah, take your courses, get your resources. That's great. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Absolutely.
Okay, you've done some pretty bold things in midlife, from extreme hiking to reimagining how you live. Now, I used a quote from our first conversation in a meme. The hardest step wasn't the trail, it was deciding to go. When self-doubt shows up, what helps you move forward anyway?
Probably just blinding myself to the fact that, the what ifs. And I've been always been a sure, we can do this, we can do that, whatever. And my partner is very much like, oh no, but what if this happens? What if that? Because in his career, that was his job, is mitigating project manager. What ifs, all the what
Risk
ifs.
management.
And I don't think about the what ifs. I think it's a personality thing. I'm just like, I'm going to make a cake and I haven't got flour, but I'll put this in and I'll put this in. What if it doesn't work? Well, if the cake doesn't rise, we've got a slice.
Everything that went in it is edible.
If it rises, it's a cake. If it doesn't, it's a slice.
Oh dear. Okay. Yeah. No, I had risk management as part of my career, and I do that. Although there's a saying out there, and I'm not going to even try to remember it completely, but it's, the what if. But oh my darling, what if it's fabulous?
Yeah,
So
exactly.
it's you can't you can't worry about the so you get hypothermia.
No, that really was, and funnily enough, I didn't feel the full effects, I didn't understand, really comprehend the gravity until a couple of days later, and I was just like, oh my God, I actually could have died. And and when I had first contacted my partner, I said, I got cold. And that's all I said, is I got very, very cold. I got cold and I got wet and I got off the mountain. And it wasn't until a couple of days later I said, oh, it was a little bit worse than that, because, and it wasn't because I didn't understand what was happening, but I needed to process it
For
myself.
sure, yeah.
And, and people said, well, why didn't you go to hospital? Well, I've done a wilderness first aid myself. I know what I needed to do. I ne know I needed to get out of my wet clothes into a warm environment, and I needed to warm up slowly. And, and I had a Miele blanket. I was able to, when I got to a warm place, I was able to have a hot drink. So I kind of did everything that I knew that I needed to have. I needed to get some good quality electrolytes into me. So yeah, but it's funny because sometimes the gravity of a situation doesn't hit you until a couple of days later.
We've ended this really positive podcast on, oh my God, she got hypothermia and had to run away.
I
Okay, I do want to tease our listener because I'm going to try and coax you back for one more interview, am I not?
Yes,
Okay.
absolutely. And now we know that we can do it sooner than later because.
Oh, I guess, yeah, because you're on terra firma with an internet connection, put it that way. All right, I'm not going to say any more than that. I'm just going to let them wonder now what we're going to talk about. Somewhere between house sitting and extreme hiking, somewhere in the middle. That's my only hint. Okay, so housesittingcollective.com. The website link is in the show notes. All the links will be on your page at our website. Now, as I say that, I always glance through. You're not really doing much social media with house sitting, are you?
Not at the
Yet.
moment, but this next phase is going to really focus on
Okay,
that.
good. And
So
then you will
it
let me
really
know
is
so
going
that I
to,
can add that to the website. Yeah.
absolutely. So I have the socials for House Sitting 101, and I just got so bombarded, writing the courses and everything. So now in this next phase, and this is why it's really good for me to get this whole month house it coming up, is it's just going to be, I'll be doing so much social media that it'll be coming out of people's phones, jumping out of people's phones
That's
anyway.
a polite way
So
to put
yes, it'll be a lot better.
it. Okay, so website link is in the show notes, and you'll get the socials to me when you can. Listeners, was there a moment in this conversation that made you stop and think, maybe someday? If so, I'd love to hear what it was. If this conversation made you think of a friend who's quietly wondering, could I do something like this? Please share the episode with her. Sometimes all it takes is one story to open a door. If you're enjoying these conversations, I'd love for you to follow the podcast so you don't miss future episodes about navigating midlife with curiosity, courage, and a little humor along the way. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free. And if you're the kind of listener who likes things a little early, I'm going to start releasing the episode on Substack first. So anyways, there's a resource section at boomwithabang.com. It's there for whenever you feel like exploring things a little further. Belinda, thank you for being my guest today, for continuing to show us that midlife can be a time of expansion, not contraction. And listeners, if you're new to Belinda's story, she was also my guest just 5 weeks ago, sharing her foray into and adventures with extreme hiking. That episode is linked in the show notes as well. It's well worth a listen. Thank you, Belinda.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Agnes. It was a real
Good to see
pleasure.
you again. Have a
Bye.
good rest of week. That's how I'm supposed to end these things.
Ha 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 ha.